That was the Picasso Ensemble playing music of Joshua McGee, his variations on an African-American spiritual. You may have heard references to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. It was composed in 2011. And that starts this hour here on Let's Hear It. I'm Kara LaRance. And joining me now is the editor of Encore Magazine, Marie Lee. Good to have you back.
Hi, Kara. Thank you.
Hi. The new issue of Encore Magazine is just out. It's on shelves, and I believe it's even more available to pick up in person than in recent months. There are more places where the magazine can just be pulled out of a box, yes?
Exactly, yes. It's so nice. Well, we used to have a pretty robust distribution through some of the local restaurants and stores. And, of course, with pandemic, that really eased off. But I feel like the whole world has opened up, you know, and not just for our magazine. Because when you look at this month's issue, especially in the first thing section, there's so much to do. It's like everybody woke up and they're raring to go.
And they're ready to present and share and offer events for everyone. It's actually exhausting to read. I'm already tired. In your introduction, you use a wonderful analogy to The Wizard of Oz. Would you explain that a little more and see if it rings a bell with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, I feel like everybody is kind of stepping out from that sepia-colored world that Dorothy lived in The Wizard of Oz when she lands in Oz and opens the door, and it's like bright technicolor. And, I mean, that's how it feels, like everybody's sort of emerged. And, I mean, especially when we look at, you know, all of the events happening and people are just ready to be outside. And so that's why there was that reference.
Now, you wrote the feature article, See Your Town Like a Tourist. It's kind of a travel guide to your own backyard, as it were. And Marie, I think you start with the idea that a lot of us discovered how nice it is to go on a walk. There was one of the few activities that seemed reasonable to do when there was the threat of flu and pandemic COVID-19 during the last few months. But going outside, taking a walk, that caught on.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's also very low cost, right? You know, all you really need are good shoes. So, and when we do the See Your Town Like a Tourist issue every June. We've done it since 2018. And every year we come up with a different theme. And this year's theme, which was really kind of hidden in plain sight, came about because people were out on walks and seeing things that they hadn't seen before, you know, and had questions. So, and there's a lot to discover. It's amazing.
I love that it's a point of pride that you start off with Kalamazoo's own Stonehenge, or to be more accurate, the circular ruin, which a lot of people have been scratching their heads about when they encounter it. And you give credit to our reporter, Sevilla Mann, for tracking down the story some years ago.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She did all the legwork. What had happened, the reason we came up with the theme this year was it came out of John Liberty's brain. And he's one of our writers and the head of West Michigan Beer Tours. And he was saying that, you know, he had kind of accidentally found out what the origin was. And so then he told me about Sevilla's story. And we went there and we thought, oh, more people need to know about this. We had stumbled on it 3 years ago. And I mean, when I say stumbled, yeah, we stumbled on it. We didn't even know it was there. When we had gone to do a photo shoot by the river down off of Mayor's Riverfront Park. And at the time, we just kind of wandered in there. I was like, wow, what is this weird thing? This is really crazy. And left it at that. And so it was really fun to find out what the actual story was behind it. So thank you to Sevilla Mann for doing the legwork and finding that for us.
Right. And it's hidden in plain sight on the Kalamazoo River Valley Trail. You have to just wander up a little cul-de-sac to see this circular ruin, which was the brainchild and was built by a sculptor named Mitchell. Yes, Wilcox.
Mitchell Wilcox.
Yeah,
right.
And it goes back a long ways, a couple
of
decades.
It really does. So I thought it was pretty interesting about that. We went and photographed it, and you could spend really literally hours looking at all the different objects that are sort of in bas relief on this thing. And it's, there's some things you look at and you go like, huh, wonder why they included that. But if you listen to Sevilla's story, which I would recommend everybody do on your WMUK website, you learn, you know, that some things are very purposeful. Some of the items that show up, like the beer bottles, are about different eras in Kalamazoo's past. And some things, some of his friends just brought over and thought he should put in it.
It's just artistic, you know? License. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, before we spend too much time on just one thing, let's move on to the following highlights that you offer. Many places to go, and they're all outdoors in natural places.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that was really interesting to me was, we have amazing arboretums and preserves all around this area. I mean, you can't actually pick up our magazine and not read about one of them practically in every issue. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the most overlooked things is this Bishop's Bog down in Portage. The bog itself is 250 acres, and it's, you can access it from five different parks. And so, you know, and it's an amazing, it's just a great place to go for a walk, you know, because it's got such varied landscape and it's easy to get to. And it does feel like you really are out in the middle of a bog when you're walking it, because you are out in the middle of the bog.
There's lots of bird watchers around, but Bishop's Bog not only has birds, but you can enjoy dragonflies, many different species of butterflies and moths, and regular old water bugs to check out if you want to become a bit of a bug watcher.
Right. I think it's a great place for kids. In fact, the first time we discovered it was with our son, and that's how we also discovered that if you step on the boardwalk, you can get sported, which he thought was absolutely the best thing ever. And his father and I were kind of like, yeah, maybe not. So,
we all wore the wrong clothes.
Exactly. You know, for an 8-year-old, no big deal. It's really actually kind of funny. And so there's humor there too, but yeah. And it's, you know, I didn't know this at the time, but another family I talked to, they take their stroller out there all the time with their little one. And because the boardwalk through the bog is a floating walk, but it's also smooth enough that you could take a stroller or even a wheelchair out there if you wanted to.
And it's very close, within a few miles of where you are, Bishop's Bog in Portage. There's a reason I think there are so many, it's kind of a cliche to paint a road going off into the woods, or a road, a path vanishing in the distance. And that is, I think it's human nature to want to follow a path. And these bog trails are also very compelling. I mean, you just want to get on the boardwalk and see where does it end? How far can I go?
Exactly, because it goes a long way. Yeah.
You also point out that there are underground railroad sites to look at, to honor, to have to get your sense of history reinvigorated. There are many places you can look at in this region for that as well.
Yeah, I was really surprised by just how many there were in Cass County. I mean, I had known about Vandalia and Ramptown, but I didn't know that they had put together a sort of organized driving tour. And some of these places are open, or will be, you know, post-pandemic, like the Bonine House and the Carriage House, which the Bonine House belonged to what they considered the station master of the Underground Railroad in Cass County. I'm trying to remember his name. I know his last name is Bonine. But anyway, across the street from that, I'm sure at the time it wasn't across the street, but across the road from that is the Carriage House, where they believe that he had kept, or not kept, had housed many of the escaped slaves. And so when you go there and you see that Carriage House, you can, it just kind of really drives it home that, you know, how they had to hide them. And then I had, you know, the Kentucky raid of, I think it was 1847, happened in basically when people from Kentucky came up and tried to reclaim escaped slaves. And there was a showdown pretty much at Cass County Courthouse. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that in this very rural area of our community that this history was being made, and that it was pivotal in the fight for freedom for enslaved people.
So there are places where you can look at the buildings from that era, that you can read markers, try to get a full sense of that history that was being made, like you said. And that is part of the new Encore magazine issue, which is the Hidden in Plain Sight, our annual See Your Town Like a Tourist issue. It's at EncoreKalamazoo.com, or you can pick it up at the newsstand. One is newly opened at D&W on Parkview.
Yes.
Yeah, very close. Then, okay, well, I don't want to totally exhaust everything. I just want to mention that there are many treats to be had in this cover article, and you could put a lot of mileage on yourself within this, you know, a 10-mile radius to check it all out.
No kidding.
So let's talk about Jordan Bradley's article.
Oh, okay, absolutely. So one of the things that she was originally interested in doing a story on voluntourism, which is where you are a tourist somewhere as a volunteer. And we thought it was kind of a good angle to go at for our Hidden in Plain Sight. Like, there's all these opportunities where you can see a place by being a volunteer. And what she really found was that the most compelling to her was the land stewardship. And this is where people volunteer to help be stewards of public spaces, preserves, parks, to basically keep it natural and wild and keep it from being taken over by invasive species and just up, you know, keeping it up so that the public can continue to enjoy using it.
Ecologists and biologists have a vision for what Michigan used to look like. They know from other records and things of what this natural area was like before there was a lot of settlement. And I wonder if that's the guide, or are they looking for kind of a new balance? It's an interesting process, because nothing really does stay the same.
Oh, no. And I think that that's, you know, one of the things we obviously highlight in the story, which is one of the big activities every spring is the big garlic mustard pole, because that's an invasive species. But another one, and it's absolutely gorgeous right now, you'll see it everywhere, is Dane's Rocket.
Dane's Rocket, yeah.
Oh, God, it is everywhere. It's even in my yard. And it's so hard because it's so pretty, but it's so invasive. And I think all you have to do is drive down any road, you know, that has, even in the city, that has a little tiny empty space, and it's probably got Dane's Rocket in it. And I think that the feeling is that, you know, I don't think that they can ever win the battle against that kind of thing, but to try to get it back in balance is what they want to do. Because, you know, there's obviously some beautiful native plants for our area that are getting choked out by this.
Right.
And so,
and bringing back natives helps balance things for bugs and animals as well. And the work will never be done, but volunteers can have a pretty good time being outdoors, helping to restore habitat, and pulling plants can be kind of satisfying, I must say.
Yeah. I think Jordan pointed that out in her story. It's very cathartic to go out there and just yank them out, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah.
Then finally, with outdoor areas, I think your historian, Lynn Houghton, looked at parks in this new edition.
Right. We asked her to focus on the city parks. She's also doing one in a future issue on the county parks. But the thing about it is there's so many parks in this town, and they're just beautiful, but they all have a pretty long history. You know, so apparently back in the day, people thought parks were important. I think my personal favorite is obviously Southwest Ninja Park, because it was a cemetery, and there might still be some people buried there. But, you know, you just drive along West Ninja Avenue, and you look over, and it's like this pretty little park in a neighborhood. And who would have thought that years ago it was something much more than that?
I had no idea. These are always things I think I should know. I think I open up an edition like this and think, okay, this is going to test my knowledge of my own space. And I always end up completely humiliated. There's so much more to know.
Well, you know, I think what's interesting too is Bronson Park. I mean, Bronson Park has gone through so much change in the last, you know, 5 years, from the taking down of the fountain to moving the Kirk Newman sculptures of the children playing in it. I mean, they took out both of the fountains, and which is nice because now you have a lot more green space for concerts and things like that. But, you know, when you look at the historic picture, even that doesn't even look familiar. You know, it's like, what was that? You know, where was that fountain? So I think Bronson Park is one of those parks that just changes, you know, constantly. And part of that's because it's in the heart of downtown, mm-hmm. and it gets a lot of use.
And it's, but to me, it's kind of classic. It's always ringed by those, the churches around. Mm-hmm. But then again, those churches have changed too. The Christian Science Church is no longer. And yeah, constant change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, not a lot, you know, where I grew up out in Idaho, we didn't have this kind of a concept where there's this sort of town square or town green. And so I absolutely love it. I just love the fact that it's ringed by churches and businesses. And it's just a beautiful place to go and just be in the heart of the city and, you know, still enjoy the trees and the green.
The trees are so important in that park. Now, Marie, I have deliberately saved the best for last, and that is the music feature. A whole story on Guitar Up, a surf rock band based in Kalamazoo, featuring longtime well-known musicians who've played in other projects for years. It is really great to see the feature here with Mark Duvall, Brian Heaney, Jay Gavin, Sean Gavin as Guitar Up. And Mark Waddell, of course, one of the most knowledgeable writers we have, and especially about music.
Exactly. Yes. We adore. I mean, I love it whenever Mark comes to us and wants to write about music, because I know he knows what he's talking about, you know. And I think it's also nice that this band is folks my age and maybe Mark's age, you know, that they are still out there playing and having a great time. The one thing that with this story that we were kind of sad, and they looked very hard, is we wanted a picture of the bass guitar that Sean made for Jay when Jay was young, because it was made out of a piece of plywood and an old bass guitar neck and some piece cut off of a bicycle. And, you know, we were like, really? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you've got to get us a picture of that. And they could not find one. They looked for a really long time and just could not find one. But I think it's hysterical that when Sean started playing music, he needed a bass player. So he made his brother his bass player and made him a bass.
This is what we're going to do. I'm going to play guitar. You're going to play this.
That's right. It's really not that important anyway. It's just a bass, right. You know. You're just going to carry the bass line.
Oh, so, little did he know.
Exactly. So, yeah.
And surf music, timing is everything, Marie. And this is the time to start sharing stories about surf guitar, because we're heading into summer.
Absolutely. I know. You know, you don't know that there's a method to our madness, but there is. And it's so funny because surf music isn't something necessarily that I always thought it was just the Beach Boys, right? And so I actually went and listened to some of the songs that Mark refers to, like The Ventures and, you know, actually Guitar Up too. And I was surprised. It just made me feel like summer. And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is good stuff to put on a Spotify playlist or a Pandora list. And just listen to while you're sitting on the beach at Lake Michigan or Ramona Park or even Woods Lake.
Well, I know from talking to Jay Gavin in 2019 when this album was released that Guitar Up was an actual exclamation or exhortation by one of the legends of surf guitar, Link Ray, who played at Club Soda. He shows up, his band's on stage. And he's played maybe one chord and he starts shouting to the sound guy, guitar up. So, of course, they named the band Guitar Up.
Guitar Up.
It's terrific.
I love it. I actually like the way you said that, because I was trying to imagine how it sounded. And I think that was exactly perfect.
It sounds like showmanship to me. Guitar
Up.
Well, it's great to touch base once again. Can you give us a hint about July's issue?
July issue is Mark Waddell returns, and he has written about another topic near and dear to his heart, which is bicycling around the area and how it's changing. So, you know, with the pandemic and more people getting on bikes, it's had an interesting effect on how people want to see the city and the county revamped so that it's more bike friendly. And so he looks at that, but he also looks at, he talks to Tim Crone at Pedal Bicycles and talks about how, you know, with all this new popularity with bikes, it's really hard to get bikes because people bought them all up and the supply chain just has not caught up yet. And so, he does a really good look at the different types of people that bike, you know, just how biking is really coming into its own in Kalamazoo. So, yeah, that's July's issue.
And it's ridiculously useful. So is this issue. It's going to get worn out. Thank you so much. Where can people find Encore once again?
Encore is at several pickup locations, probably almost 200 around town, including Harding's and B&W, and some of the major stores are actually adding a space of one of those beautiful outdoor boxes in Vicksburg this week. So they'll be able to pick it up there, and they can go online and see the content at www.encorekalamazoo.com.
Let's go out with some music by Guitar Up from their album, Western Pacific. This one's called Straight, STRAIT, Straight to Mackinac. Thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you, Kara.